but in Sleeping Beauty. The Euro Disney version was built of pink stone, with handcrafted stained glass windows picturing scenes from Sleeping Beauty, and a dungeon with a fire-breathing dragon. While undeniably more spectacular than the American castles, it also cost millions more. Eisner was far more interested in the creative challenges than the practical problems, which, as usual, were Welles's responsibility. Building Euro Disney was the most ambitious construction project Disney had ever undertaken, and translating the ideas of Eisner and the Imagineers in Burbank, not to mention those of the team of international architects responsible for the hotels, fell to European contractors and Bob Fitzpatrick, the former CalArts president whom Eisner and Welles had installed as head of the project. Eisner didn't mind spending money, as he put it, on the walls, meaning on something spectacular that guests would see. But operating expenses drove him crazy. On an early visit to the site, Eisner and his entourage were ferried around the beet fields in four Land Rovers. Eisner called Welles, "Why do we have Land Rovers rather than Jeeps? This is just the tip of the iceberg. Nickels and dimes add up, and I can tell you right now we've got to get this under control." No one at Disney had any experience with building in Europe, let alone dealing with contentious French labor organizations. When they arrived at the steps of the Paris Bourse, home to the nation's stock market, to celebrate the first day Euro Disney shares were publicly traded, Eisner and Gary Wilson were confronted by angry demonstrators and pelted with eggs and ketchup. "Uncle Scrooge, go home," read one banner. Budgeted at $1.3 billion, costs were approaching $2 billion, and construction was falling behind when Welles called in a consultant who warned, "You are headed for one of the biggest failures in construction I've ever seen." Eisner and Welles tapped Judson Green, who had negotiated the Marriott deal at Disney World, to rescue the opening and get operations up to speed. Green airlifted over 500 Disney employees from the American theme parks for a crash effort to prepare for an opening. The task force worked 18-hour days for 4 months. Disney was also a victim of Eisner's insistence that the company meet its pledge to open at a precise time in April, as Walt had done with Disneyland and Roy with Walt Disney World. The deadline was an open invitation to blackmail from the contractors, who threatened work slowdowns unless they were given premiums to complete the work on time. One group of contractors demanded $150 million in overtime and change orders. Euro Disney ultimately cost a staggering $4 billion. Whatever the cost, Euro Disney did succeed in opening at precisely 9 a.m. on April 22, 1992. All the architects were on hand, along with stars Candace Bergen, Eddie Murphy, and Melanie Griffith. Farmers blockaded the roads. French President François Mitterrand declined to attend, dismissing the expensive new investment with Gallic indifference as "pas ma tasse de thé," just not my cup of tea. A comment that infuriated Eisner. For all Disney's efforts, it was clear from early reactions that Europeans would not be easily won over by Disney's American version of make-believe. International Herald Tribune critic Stephen Bailey wrote, "The old world is presented with all the confident big-ticket flim-flam of painstaking fakery that this bizarre campaign